thank you very much for joining. I first would like to note everyone's efforts and hard work for what I think is a productive ICANN 59, our policy forum. But as many of us have attended various meetings, you always start the planning for the next meeting. And so thank you for joining us for the ICANN 60 community planning and programming view. Next slide, please. The agenda briefly today will be some opening remarks for Sally and Nick. We'll look at the block schedule that was circulated to you. Josh will go through that. We'll again focus on get the attention to the cross-community sessions for ICANN 60. And then you'll see we've scheduled calls as we normally do throughout the process, and we have a list for you there. And then any other business will include looking at the questions that Joran has sent to the SOAC leadership on meeting selection, and I'll also talk to you about the draft meeting selection manual that we are preparing as well. So if there's agreement to this agenda, I'd like to go forward, but I think maybe we might want to start with identifying people around the room. Phyllis, could I start with you? Thank you. Oops.
Thanks for the heads up, David. Yes, Phyllis Yilmaz, ASOAC Chair.
Hi, I'm Paul Wilson from APNIC, Chair of the NRO EC, for acting for this meeting. Thanks.
Tom Dale from the ACIG GAC Secretariat.
Julia Chamberlain, GAC Support Staff.
Herman Bardes, sorry, NRO Secretary.
Alan Greenberg, ALEC Chair.
Patrick Feldstrom, ESSEC Chair.
Katrina Sataki is the Chair of the CNSO Council.
Alejandra Reynoso, Chair of the Meeting Program Group in the CCNSO.
Great. Glenn McKnight, Norello Chair.
Susie Johnson, ICANN Staff.
Kim Carlson, ICANN Staff.
Sally Costerton, ICANN Staff.
David Olive, ICANN Staff.
Nick Tomaso, ICANN Staff.
Josh Balch, ICANN Staff.
Heather Forrest, GNSO Council Vice Chair.
Tripti Sinha, Co-Chair, RSEC.
Graham Bunton, Chair of the RRSG.
Zoe Benison, Secretariat of the RRSG.
Sue Schuler, Secretariat for the RYSG.
Paul Diaz, Chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group.
Renata Quino Ribeiro, representing NCC Chair, Fazanibadi.
Martin Silva, on behalf of the Executive Committee of the MPOC, the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency.
Greg Shatton, President of the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Taponi Tazvanen, Chair of the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group.
Satish Babu, Chair of APRILO.
And James Bladel, Chair GNSO.
Again, thank you for your taking the time. This is a good full representation. To note that we will be sending around the ICANN 60 mailing list. It'll be the same as ICANN 59. You can opt in or opt out or tell me who to change, and we'll send you a note to that instruction. Now, words from Sally and Nick. Sally?
Thank you, David, and thank you all. It's just great to see such a full group. All I really wanted to do was to just sort of sow a thought in your mind as we go through this discussion. I've seen many of you this week in different guises and different meetings, and you've all basically said the same thing to me, which is we need more volunteers. We need more qualified volunteers, and we need them quickly, putting it bluntly, in various different groups, various different sentiments, and then we've had different kinds of discussions about what's necessary to do that, what's the requirement on capacity development, what's the role of the different programs, the role of the different community groups and the outreach community, the outreach teams, and so on and so forth. The reason I'm mentioning that in this meeting is because the ICANN meetings are a place in which we both welcome newcomers and we bring them on board. We also do quite a lot of capacity development work at ICANN meetings. So just as you're thinking about the Abu Dhabi meeting and you know, what's important, what's more important than other things, how do we think about how we use the time. I just wanted to sow that thought in your mind, that the meetings play a role in the process of volunteer participation, onboarding, and capacity development. And as the year progresses, I will be trying to make more and more sense, more streamlining, more and more coherent thought process about how we do that. And that obviously affects all of you and the time you spend in working on your different programs. So thank you. I wanted to also take the opportunity to thank many of you who are in the room who've really, you know, made that point so clearly. And it's an important priority for us. And the region going into Abu Dhabi, we have a very, very vibrant region where there's a great deal of interest from newcomers, both globally and regionally. We've had record applications for both the Next Gen program, which is regional, and the fellowship program, which I know you know is global. And so we will have a full cadre of both new regional participants through the Next Gen program. I do want to make sure that as you're thinking about the outreach aspects of this meeting, that we are being very joined up well in advance about how to make sure there's time on the schedule, there's capacity from the staff to support your groups, in addition to those centralized programs, so that we make sure that where you want to reach out to local stakeholders, that we've made that provision, we don't leave it too late in the day. So thank you for that.
Let me add my thanks for all of the work that you did to get us to this point in the schedule development for Johannesburg. From my perspective, it's worked very well. I hope it has from yours, and I'm sure we'll hear from you if it hasn't, and look forward to your comments during this meeting on improvements moving forward. I do want to mention a couple of things. One is Tanzania King is noticeably absent from this session. Tanzania has some health problems that she's dealing with back in California, but will be coming back online pretty soon. So you'll see her, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future online and other places. That said, Josh Balch, who is a new face for all of you, is the senior manager for meeting ops, working for me on the meetings team, and he's been working very closely with Tanzania King over the years on the schedule development. So he's quite knowledgeable, certainly on all of the back-end software, the EMS tool, et cetera, that all of you use, but also in how the schedule comes together. So he's volunteered to come in here and join us and take us through the schedule as it exists today. So thank you to Josh. I'd like to make a couple of comments on the schedule. So if we could have that in the next slide before Josh gets into it. Clear as day. So I should have brought my glasses, but thank you. You'll notice that on Monday, the welcome ceremony has been moved from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And I know Joran has been talking to many of you about that, and I know many of you have welcomed that idea. But you'll notice there's an opportunity to open the day on Monday with a high-interest topic. And this is, I think, a great opportunity for this group to select someone that is impactful and of broad appeal for the community, because it's going to have, I would hope, a very high turnout. So I just wanted to mention that. And you'll also notice that the public forum, which used to be at the end of the day, has now moved up into the second slot of the day. Just make note of that. That's all I have right now. Josh, we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you. So we have two questions that we need to answer that Tanzania had sent us on the list. The first one is the total number of time slots allocated to non-conflicted cross-community discussion topics, so HITs. Right now on this particular schedule, we have three. So the question is do we want to do more than three? We have two additional slots on day five in the afternoon as potential alternative slots, both at the 50, you know, block four and block five. Overall, for the block schedule itself, you know, day one basically is staying the same that it has been in the past meetings, which will be the internal work and the outreach. Day two then is continuing on the internal work, and then in the addition, adding the newcomers day to that. As Nick said, day three, we basically flopped. And one of the things that Tanzania wanted to make sure that we brought up is how that will impact the session layout of how we have traditionally done the sessions that day. Because with having the opening in the late evening, just of, you know, those late evening sessions will then either need to flop into the morning or vice versa. So just as something to be aware of. One option we had, too, is just adding all of the cross-community topics during those that day. And then on day four, being constituency day, and joint meetings with the board. The only thing that we wanted to note on this is on day five, it actually continues for that block one into that other section, just because of partly because of the Steve Crocker farewell and toast not going late into the evening. And this is actually how we have done it for the last meeting, the last AGM as well. And then moving on through the cross-community interactions for day five, six, and seven, with day six being the AGM meeting by the board in the morning and then the public forum in the afternoon. So I guess at this point is kind of a question for everybody on the table is, do we want to stick with the three cross-community topic sessions, or do we want to open it up to a potential of five at that point?
Go ahead. James?
Thanks, James speaking. So on that particular question, I think three is probably on the low end of what would be appropriate. Five is probably, you know, I think the number is right in there. Three, you know, four or five would be my guess. So I'm not, without seeing the topics and the submissions and going through that whole process, I don't know what the right number is. I know last year in Hyderabad we had something like eight. That was way too many. So I think you're right on in the 3 to 5 range. My question is, and I apologize if everybody had a one-on-one with Joran and I didn't, why are we swapping the public forum and the opening ceremony? Can you help me with the rationale? Because here's my reaction to that. A lot of folks arrive to ICANN meetings on that first day. To have the first session of the first day, a public forum, what the heck are we going to talk about? You know, the stuff that we thought up on the plane, the stuff that we, you know, held over from this meeting. I'm not clear. I mean, at least at the end of the day, there's a little bit more, going on that you can kind of have fodder for questions and discussions. I just feel like starting the whole circus off with a public forum seems backwards to me. So that's just my thought. And if I'm missing something or if you've got a really solid rationale that everybody at the table understands but me, then I'm all ears.
James, thank you for the comments. Based on those comments, I'd like to open the discussion up to the room here. Do you support a welcome ceremony at the end of the day, or do you think it's misplaced?
Paul, and then Martin.
I had the same thought. It seemed strange to end the first day with an opening ceremony when, unless again there's a particular reason, it would seem more logical to have those two sessions switched around. Might also observe a gala night on the opening day also might seem a little strange. I mean, to start the week with a big night out, although for all I know it may be a dry gala, I'm not so sure in Abu Dhabi, but it seems a bit early in the week, but that's just an observation.
Thank you, Paul. Martin and then Paul.
Martin here. Yes, I don't want to make a fuss out of this. It's just a side comment, but I do agree with James for the reasons. I mean, I'm thinking more in the onboarding line of thought. The fact that people that has never been to an ICANN meeting, or maybe they came to the day before in the outreach of the newcomers, maybe putting them inside of a cross-community work group is very challenging, confusing, overwhelming. It's not welcoming. So for us, it's very welcoming because they're interesting topics, and that's immediately attractive to us. But for someone that really is starting to learn what ICANN is and trying to decide whether this is a place for them or not, if there's a space for them or not, it can be overwhelming for a newcomer to have such a big, interesting, and heated discussion where, you know, things are going over people's head.
I would have a lot of fun with this shuttle. That's why he said I agree with James, but for other reasons. But I do think that maybe the open ceremony was an easy way of making people feel like they were welcome. Even the polytrom has that same effect. That's why he said I agree with James, but maybe with a slight different approach. Polytrom tends to be welcoming. It makes feel people that they have a place there. You know, they can see people that they say, "Hey, I'm a newcomer. I'm here to make a question or to submit a concern." Again, I will never make a fuss out of this, but since you ask, that's my two cents.
Thank you, Paul, and then Greg.
Thank you, David. Cher Martin and James's concerns. As I look at this, just on first blush, I am sure a number of my members, registry reps, are going to think, "Oh, great! I don't have to show up until Monday in the middle of the day." At a minimum, if we hold this, you better change the title of welcoming ceremony to something else, because it is counterintuitive to have the welcome at the end of the day. Joran expressed it as a desire to go from his presentation and then invite everybody to the gala. He could still do that if it was at the end of the public forum, as we've traditionally done. But for the reasons stated by other colleagues, it does seem very counterintuitive. And again, on first blush, when you look at this, yes, for some newcomers, having the weekend days devoted to sessions will be much appreciated. But for those who are further along the learning curve, personally, I would look at this. If I didn't have to be here, I wouldn't show up until late Monday.
Thank you, Greg. And then Alan.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. And my reaction to Monday was kind of similar, although not necessarily that I would skip it, but basically what we have here is all of Monday has essentially now become unconflicted. It's almost like a plenary day. And so there's really no room for other work or kind of, you know, for actual work within, you know, more typical groups such as working groups or constituencies or stakeholder groups or any of those things. It's all it's an all community day jamboree sort of thing. I'm not sure that that's better. Rather, I think it's probably better to mix up the cross community sessions during the course of the week. I mean, I know that if we add two more on Wednesday, we'll have more. But just having the whole day be this kind of plenary day just seems a little odd. And I'd like to hear the rationale for the flipping of the opening ceremony of the public forum, starting with the cross-community topic. It just trying to make, you know, wrap my head around it and figure out where, you know, some of the other sessions, you know, the informational sessions would fit in. It looks like they kind of fall to the very end of the week. Finally, I hope we'll talk more about the process and substance of cross-community sessions themselves. I'll reserve my comments on that, but I do have some. Thanks.
Alan and then Heather. Alan.
Thank you. One of the questions on my mind is, when do flights tend to arrive? If it's a place where flights, you know, all of them arrive late at night or early in the morning or something, it really does affect the schedule, and I have no clue in this case. To be quite blunt, there's a fair number of people that don't go to the opening ceremony. They have heard enough politicians telling you how great their local place is, and it's an opportunity to sleep in if time zones are an issue. I don't think having it late in the day will increase participation, but I think we have to accept that reality.
Thank you, Alan. Heather.
Thanks very much, David. I have some concerns that I think have been nibbled around the edges, but not maybe articulated directly, which is putting all of these things before Constituency Day on Tuesday really puts the constituencies at a disadvantage, let's say. It's certainly the case that in these cross-community sessions and certainly in the public forum, there tends to be a certain amount of groundwork that happens within own communities before meaningful participation can happen in those. So I'm not saying pull all of these cross-community topics out of there or indeed the public forum, but it certainly puts communities at a disadvantage in that these things are going to happen happen when the last contact anyone had was several days before on the list, before everyone got into a plane. So I think you'll find that participation is significantly diminished for that reason. Thanks.
Thank you. Katrina.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I heard the term unconflicted cross-community sessions several times. Could they be more specific? So these in orange, they are meant to be unconflicted? Well, from the CCNSO perspective, I would definitely object to having unconflicted sessions. Thank you.
Yeah, a couple of comments specifically to Katrina's question. No, they're not meant to be totally non-conflicted. What you're looking at is a day-by-day schedule. What you usually look at per day is a very wide, all of our meeting rooms with all of the meetings stacked up against them. I think it's interesting to note, while it appears that this is different, what is different is these things have been rearranged, but we always do high-interest topics on Monday. But I think the fact that they appear to be non-conflicted is what's somewhat confusing to everyone. These, we have had high-interest topics on Monday during the day. That's what we do at the main meeting room typically.
Anyone else? Okay, Heather, please.
Please forgive me, because I don't understand what I'm saying here as a complaint, but I'm finding it very confusing that we're still hanging on to this language of HIT, high-interest topic, and they're articulated here as cross-community topic, and then there are acronyms, which we love. We have got, if we can't get it straight amongst ourselves, we'll never sell it to the community.
Duly noted, and we'll make sure to change our nomenclature. Thank you.
I think the latest was cross-community discussions, and we'll stick to that. Thank you. We'll eliminate HIT from the vocabulary. Yes, thank you. All right, we will take these comments. Thank you so much. Any other comments for Josh on the block schedule?
Greg,
yes, Greg.
We didn't hear an answer on the rationale, I think, for flipping the public forum and the opening ceremony, and you know, so I think that would be helpful to know.
I think here was a case of trying to see if we can experiment with a different format and maybe to have most of the speechifying, if you will, toward the end of the day and then move on to the gala and get right to the work of things. Maybe a way of doing it would be similar to the session, the opening session we had here in the policy department, policy forum, a short 30-minute hello, great, welcome, get back good to work, and then do the speeches, other VIP guests and whatnot toward the evening, like an evening dinner a speaker or a series of speakers. But I think that was the idea, to see if that would be more effective and attract more people.
Heather,
please.
Thanks very much, Sally. David, one of the things that I think ought to be acknowledged that I thought was a very good addition, I agree, let's say, fundamentally with your idea of a quick introduction, the way that we had at this meeting, but another thing that I think was particularly effective was the opportunity for groups such as the GNSO, I can really only speak to the GNSO, to do those day-by-day early morning introductions. What's on today? What's special today? What should you pay attention to? So the thought came to mind when you said quick 30-minute introduction. To the extent that we can include it in that, to say here are the key points today, here's what you want to look out for, maybe that's a community-based thing. But I would like to see, what I don't see here is the optional early start on Monday the 30th that allows people that chance to get their head around what's happening in their own community and likewise elsewhere. So let's not lose that great idea that came out of this meeting.
That's a really interesting idea. So we'd have a kind of fast start every morning, gathering people together to say, here's what's going on today. Is that what you're saying?
Whether that is, so I don't want to have death by false start, let's say, but I can say in a GNSO context it was particularly effective. It helped the community understand, particularly when we're hearing concerns around too many PDPs and we can't keep track of what's going on and what are you doing today and this sort of thing. I think that's been particularly effective. Perhaps if we had that false start on the Monday for the whole community, here are the key things for this week across the SOs and ACs, but then I'd like to preserve that right, you know, Monday is a big day for the GNSO. I'd like to preserve that right for that early start. Sorry, Marika, I'm signing you up for more work. But I'd like to make sure that we preserve that opportunity. Thanks.
That's clear. Thanks, Heather. Just before we close this, I just wanted to make one other, I just wanted to clarify something to make sure we've captured the feedback properly. So what I'm taking away from this discussion is one, do we really want to flip the welcome ceremony or split it in some different way? We're not sure that that makes sense. And the other thing I'm hearing is, do we really want to have the public forum so early in the day? Now, is that still something you want us to take another look at? Because I've certainly heard around the room quite a few people who thought that we probably should take a look at that proposal, that this might be too early in the day. People wouldn't have arrived on the plane, or they would be tired, or they wouldn't have had time to think about the issues, and there are various different reasons for that. And I just want to make sure we understand what we're being asked.
Yes. If I remember correctly, a public forum was moved to the beginning of the week because of comments from the board saying people are asking us to do things and we doing it at the end of the week doesn't give us an opportunity. But we don't really specify this is a public forum for where we want action from the board. So it may well make sure that if issues are raised in that forum, the board can act, but it's not necessarily the best place for us to raise forums because we haven't had any, haven't necessarily had the necessary meetings. And as Heather pointed out, the constituency day hasn't happened yet.
And Al, you're next, and then Tapani, and then Patrick.
So thank you, and apologies for coming in late. We had a surprise party for all of which came as a surprise to us as well. So, so apologies. I'm not sure where exactly we are in the discussion, but would like to highlight a few things from the GAC side. We haven't decided anything yet regarding ICANN 60 at the GAC. We're having this discussion after lunch, but we've already discussed freeing some time from the GAC to attend PDPs and other sessions. And my question would be, when exactly does the agenda shape up? Or because what I was told is that the GAC is very early in setting its own agenda, and that by the time we set our agenda, nothing else is yet clear within the other constituencies. So if we want to coordinate this and try to free some time from our side to attend other sessions, it would be interesting to know when the other agendas are shaped up and how we can coordinate this. Thank you.
Yes, our experience with ICANN 59 was part of that sharing, and that's a good way to plan. Tapani.
And just two quick points. First, I agree with James and others that the public forum should not be this early, whether swapping with the welcoming ceremony or just shifting it so that we have all these cross-community sessions before it. Either way, it could work. And second, for Alan's concern about flights, I took a quick look. It seems that there are flights arriving in the evening, morning, and at midnight, depending on where you're coming and how much you are willing to pay. So I suspect if constituency travel is happy to accommodate a little bit less than least expensive flights, then we can find useful arrivals for everybody.
Thank you. Patrick, and then Phyllis, and then Alan. Patrick.
Thank you very much. Regarding the public forum, from ESSAC perspective, we believe it is a good thing to have one public forum early and one late, because just like ICANN board, we also want to listen to the community as an advisory committee. So we think this works well. Then, just because I need to leave very shortly, I also want to mention on the second page regarding the timeline, basically what Manal talked about. Just like I said at the last meeting, just remind everyone that we would like to have all requests for meetings in according to this timeline. And I'm specifically looking at ICANN, the organization itself, because normally they are later than everyone else. And I do understand why, because some of that cannot be done before the community has done their schedules. But I think we need to, because we in FSAC have been forced to literally say no to everything that arrives as requests after the first cutoff date that you have here. And that should just be, everyone should just be aware of that not only GAC but also we in FSAC might actually prioritize depending on when requests arrive. Thank you.
So Tanzania's strategy has been to give top priority to the SOACs
and lower priority to staff requests for meetings, which I think is still appropriate, but I appreciate the point you make, Patrick, that if we do that, then you can attend, perhaps can attend the staff-initiated requests for sessions.
Oh, okay. The other way around. We are normally in FSAC, we are allocating the time. But then the question is what we are going to use the time for. And we have already scheduled then time for certain topics and requests that we get from other SONACs. And then suddenly we got a request from, for example, the external review team or like from whoever, quite often external parties and others. Can we please meet with you, which we could have done if we had not fixed our own. So it has nothing to do with the schedule between rooms and FSAC. It's our internal scheduling. Thank you.
Point well taken. And we'll look to your point, we can get all requests for sessions at the same time so that we can help the SOACs understand what else is out there and you can plan your schedules. Or we can develop this schedule with full knowledge of everything that's going on. We'll make that a requirement, a priority.
Phyllis and then Alan, then we'll close. Okay, Phyllis and Alan, and then we'll get to Sue. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Phyllis Yilmaz here. In fact, I sympathize with the concern that was raised previously that we do not have an entry session other than the rituals and the welcome ceremonial welcomes for people to tell them what is expected for today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week. In that sense, I would actually suggest to swap the opening ceremony back to morning, 9 a.m., but then also entertain some kind of program overview during that ceremonial welcome session where we, or maybe Joran can go through the week, cross-community sessions, main subjects that will be covered under these cross-community sessions, constituency day, Tuesday, various groups will do their own thing, etc., etc. And we have the public forum here and the annual general meeting on this day. I think that is a good way of setting the scene. I know we have to cover some rituals there due to the, you know, local ministries and etc. But I think it's a good idea to have that at the morning at the 9 a.m. before the real stuff really starts for everybody. And I think that will fit what James is kind of criticizing with the cross-community session is the first thing for everybody to just jump into. And then for the public forum, I actually agree with the previous comment that I think it works for me too. After the ceremony and setting up the scene, what's going to happen for the next 5 days, we sit down and have an initial public forum about general topics, what may come up during the week, so we inform the board as well as ourselves. Because then maybe there are things that will be raised which can be revisited during the cross-community sessions. So it's a good way of hearing those and again warming ourselves up for the rest of the sessions here. And I think if we bundle up all three cross-community sessions on day three, it's a good plenary day where general and common subjects are visited straight after each other and everybody is in one room, if they like to be, of course. So that concludes my comments for the first day. I don't have any issues also having two separate public forums. I think it's a good setup. Thank you.
Thanks, Phyllis. Alan and then Sue from the registry group. Yes, Alan.
Thank you very much. Manel's comment reminded me of something. And it may well be unique to the GAC and the ALAC, but we have a real need to participate in sessions which from their perspective are internal ones, PDPs, for instance. And it becomes really problematic how they're scheduled, and this meeting is perhaps the poster child that we carefully scheduled around it, and then they swap days. And it destroyed the whole ability to work on the other groups where we're trying to be active participants. So I don't know how we solve it, but there's got to be more coordination, and that's why I supported the term coordination at the session yesterday afternoon. There really has to be more coordination between the groups in settling this in adjusting the schedules. Our staff people try to track it, but it's really difficult.
Thank you. Sue, please.
Thank you. Yeah, Ellen just basically brought up what I was going to say. We had actually scheduled a meeting against one of the cross-community working groups because the small group basically had no interest in that, and then all of a sudden they switched what the high-interest topic was going to be. And then all of a sudden we had to cancel our CPH membership meeting because there were too many people that would be missing. So it's very difficult for any of our groups to schedule until you actually populate what the cross-community topic is going to be. And then we can schedule those things. But once you get those populated, don't switch those around because we then request around those for groups that maybe don't have an interest in that topic and then can actually meet at that time. So once you set those, kind of make those a little bit more in stone so that we don't have that problem.
Josh.
Thank you, guys. The next slide on this deck actually kind of starts addressing some of those issues in the timeline, the production timeline of things. And I think that we might be able to answer some of the concerns of Patrick, Alan, and Sue on the timing of this. The first thing that we have on that is identifying the cross-community sessions that we want. And it sounds like that we want to target 4 or 5 of those. So the application period for that will open up here and just actually next week and on July 3rd. So part of that process that I think that we need to do as a group is once those cross-community topics are decided that we lock those in, because then at that point we go into the early request of sessions that is just open to the SOs and ACs, and then at that point then we move into starting to populate the sessions from the ICANN organization staff. And if you'll notice too, Tanzanika was a little bit strategic in how she did the production calls. And so I want to just call attention to that, is that the first production call that we have would be July 26th. We tried to keep them all consistent. July 26th, leading to the opening of the session requests, if you will. And then the second one is once all of those session requests have closed and we actually have tangible data to work with, then we start working on the conflict resolution. And I think that kind of helps with Patrick and everything, is we have the cross-community discussions locked in. Then at that point, we're able to have a tangible discussion on what sessions are then dealt with beyond that, and trying to address, Alan's concern with the PDP sessions and stuff. So I'm hoping that the schedule will kind of naturally bring and answer some of those concerns to being able to do that. So in essence, what I'm saying is that September 20th meeting is probably the most important meeting that we'll have production call-wise of making sure that we can resolve those issues. So I just want to throw that out there. Is there any concerns with the production timeline schedule that we have here? And also, too, the other thing I wanted to note is it's not very clear on the top part, but if you look, the dark blue, so the conflict resolution process starts as soon as all of the forms were closed and submitted. And so those 2 weeks are really the critical weeks for this group and ICANN staff to be able to resolve and get the schedule locked in.
I should clarify that it's what you need is the number of cross-community discussions, not the topics. To be clear, and that helps then with the other schedule flowing. Yes, Alan.
To be clear, the conflicts that I'm worried about are not the ones that show up on the session requests, because I presume the GNSO, like the ALAC, blocks out sessions but doesn't necessarily settle on the detailed agenda that will happen within those sessions, and that's where the conflicts come. And it's not just the public ones. It's in the case I was talking about, the GNSO PDP moved from one day to another.
I don't know exactly when, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, or something like that. So that's the cooperation that I'm looking at that level, not just at the formal scheduling level.
Thank you. Heather, please.
Thank you. And please, again, don't misinterpret my comment. I very much appreciate the demarcation of the religious holidays in the calendar at the bottom, but the inclusion of only American public holidays doesn't really help in pitching ourselves as a global organization. So, and certainly articulating Columbus Day as applicable to most regions is not very effective for a lot of us around the table. Thank you.
That's AOB, and I will address that in a moment. With that, I think I need to, we have a 10-minute schedule here, and I want to just quickly readjust the agenda, if we could, by your agreement. Number of item 5, which is basically the calls that we planned, are on this scheduling timeline here, and we'll send that around to you generally on Wednesdays at 1400 UTC throughout the next few periods. And I need to, if we could, we've discussed cross-community sessions a little bit to the extent that 4 or 5 might be the ideal number, and we want to continue that on the list because we don't have another hour to continue that discussion. And if I could, if you would agree, we would need 2 other issues on AOB. One is the meeting selection process, and the other one is the meetings manual issue. If there be agreement to everyone, we move to that. I'd like to do that if possible. Okay. With that, in terms of the 2 items, the Joran has sent to the SOAC leadership a questionnaire about, do you think there's time for a broader discussion on how to choose the meeting venues? And some of you have responded. Katrina, thank you, James, and some others. But I think we really would like to have your views on this, because do you want to have input in how the meetings are scheduled? Should we have other inclusions such as religious holidays and the like? And we try to do that to the best of our abilities as well as safety and security matters. And if so, how to do that? This is kind of an important process as we're going forward, and that was part of Joran's request to you. And so I just wanted to, one, remind you, two, if we wanted to have a bit of a discussion on that, and three, then to ask you to put your thoughts back to him in a note responding to his email would be helpful. James.
And thanks, David, and thanks for tabling this. And again, I'm just kind of shooting from the hip, but rather than hash that out amongst this group, I wonder if it's, you know, we should probably go back and take a look at the meeting strategy working group and see if there's any kind of built-in review of the, you know, how this new format and how this new approach to meetings is going, and then maybe reconstitute something like that, a lightweight version. I know Paul's probably rolling his eyes. I can't see him. But a leaner, meaner version of that thing. How's the new format going? We've got a couple of years under our belt now. Is it working? Maybe does it need any tweaks? I don't know that we can do anything productive with this group, certainly not in 10 minutes.
There are 2 issues there, I think. One is more an immediate one about meeting selection criteria as we need to make these things going forward. And the other one is in terms of a general review of the meeting strategy. Surely we're happy to hear any other changes, modifications, one day more, one day less. That's fine, but I think that's a separate question we can work on. It's really the selection process for where the meetings are located is what we need to know.
Right, and so I'm, and that's a good point, and drawing a distinction between those two. But I note that when I raised this issue in conversations with folks, the first thing that came up was the concept of hubs, and the concept, and a number of other things that I don't remember the answers, but were well-worn subjects within the meeting strategy working group. And so, if we're going to go back and revisit some of those ideas, then I think that's probably the proper vehicle to doing that. But I do feel like we should proceed cautiously here because this is something people get really animated about. Thanks.
Thank you. I can't see any other hands. So just to be sort of specific for a second, because I want to make sure we were really clear at the staff level that we understand. So currently, as you know, and we explored this at some length in the meeting with you in the CCNSO yesterday, the current process is that we pick meeting cities for meetings based on the meeting criteria that are on the website. That was that specifically reviewed in the meeting strategy working group? It was. I think, as in that was one of the products of that process. It's pre-existed that. It got reviewed during that process. It is extant, and that's on the meeting. And it's, forgive me for laboring the point, okay? So the reason why this is matters and where this particular issue matters is because, partly because we had a big discussion about whether or not we should go to Abu Dhabi, because there were specific issues in Abu Dhabi potentially relating to whether women felt safe there, and that was the issue that was explored at some length yesterday and on the list to some extent. But typically, almost every city brings some points of view from the community for different reasons. So it's really a governance question, I suppose, loosely, that we're asking is, do you think it is time that the decision of where we put cities should be, the criteria that we add in order to select cities should be picked by the community, and we should add to them or take some away or put some new ones in, or do we maintain the current rotation, sorry, the current system, which is that we use the criteria that are public, we share the process, it's published through the board, for example, as you know, we've just published the Kobe and Montreal meetings. So I know I don't want to sort of have a conversation about this if we don't need to, but what I'd like to take back to Joran, what we'd like to take back to Joran, is a reasonably clear view about whether the community feels it is now time that those criteria were wholesalely reviewed because they don't work, or whether we say, actually, we think they broadly do work, we accept that some people are going to be happier than others, we reserve the right to have some kind of dialogue about that, but we don't necessarily seek to change the criteria by which it's chosen. And I take absolutely the point about a broader review of the proposals, and I think what you're saying, James, is it's not that easy to separate it. They are, to some extent, linked, and that's right, but it's really just responding to a kind of temperature in the community as to whether that's appropriate. So that was, yeah, you've got a question.
Renata, please.
Yes, Renata. I am just finding it hard to understand how can we continue with the same criteria if ICANN isn't the same. So ICANN has now a gender participation survey, there's a work stream 2-2 on diversity, there's anti-harassment policy approved. It is not possible to understand that this criteria doesn't conflict with this new ICANN that's now happening. So this is the first thing that establishes the need for revising the criteria.
Okay, thank you. So if you have other other comments to make, please respond to Joran's message to you all, and we'll take that going forward. With that, quickly, before the other part of any other business, in the attempts to make clearer the scheduling of meetings at an ICANN meeting, Tanzanika and Glenda Saint-Jarie, along with the meetings team, Sally, and communications, have come up with a draft explanation manual of the processes. We'll share that with you. Hopefully this will help you in the ICANN 60 planning. Again, it's a draft of which I'm sure it'll be added to and modified, but we wanted to make clear that people understood how you put in the forms and the formats we follow, and that would be hopefully helpful to you as you go forward on ICANN 60 planning. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for their time and attention and the interest for making our next meeting another productive meeting. Greg, yes?
Oh, I'd like to at least, you know, tee up for discussion the issues we continue to have with management of the cross-community topics. Particularly the issue with the people who propose the topic seem to think that they own the
right.
Speakers list, and I think that's continuing to be an issue. I saw Farzana raised it, and I agree fully with her comments on that.
Send me other additional comments, and we have to get back to that. Yes, Katrina.
Well, thank you very much. I would like to respond to Greg's last comment, if it's okay. I just wanted to invite you to look from a different perspective. Everyone is welcome to submit their proposals for cross-community discussions, right? But in order to do that, you first have to come up with another idea, and then you have to work on the description. So you kind of invest your time into planning the session. And then when you have invested some time, a community thinks, okay, that's a good idea, you have a description, you have everything, and then somebody just says, nah, that wasn't good. I think you should go there. So I think it's not entirely fair to those who really thought about the session. Now, I'm not saying they should ignore everyone else. Absolutely not. I'm just saying it's... Well, everyone is welcome to propose their session and to run them the framework they think should be.
I disagree completely. They shouldn't be topics that are owned by a particular... This is not the IGF. If you're investing time into planning the session, that's a misplaced investment.
Yes, and we understand that that's an ongoing discussion, and that'll be another session for one of our calls to work on that as we move forward. Again, in terms of the cross-community discussions, we're looking at more sort of 3, 4 to 5, and we'll work on the criteria and the selection process to be inclusive, but we do need an organizer or a series of organizers to get the work done. So points taken.
Suggest staff.
And that's a suggestion. Thank you very much. With that, we appreciate the lunch and safe travels, and we'll be talking to you soon on various calls. Thank you very much.